Kansas City Royals baseball has been brought to you by Sweet Baby Ray's Barbecue Sauce, the official barbecue sauce of the Kansas City Royals. The sauce is the boss. Sheet Metal Workers Local 2, demand metal excellence. Capital Federal, true blue for over 125 years. Equal housing lender, member FDIC. You've been listening to Kansas City Royals baseball on the Royals Radio Network.
This has been a presentation of Odyssey Sports. For even more coverage of your team, download the free Odyssey app and listen to your favorite stations, shows, and podcasts.
Welcome in to Vern's Post Game Show.
Massey not stopping in second and slides into third with a two-run triple.
Here's Josh Vernier.
All right, good afternoon. Welcome in. Royals victorious, 2-1 the final score. They sweep the first-place Minnesota Twins, and they have their first winning streak of 2023. Let's celebrate? Let's enjoy the win. How about that? Phone line is open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. 7-6-10. We certainly celebrate the fact that that albatross is no longer hanging around the neck of that clubhouse. You heard Matt Quatrero just a moment ago say, yeah, everyone's well aware that we're the only team in Major League Baseball that has yet to enjoy a three-game winning streak. We're all aware that we're the first Royals team ever to enter the month of July without a three-game winning streak, so it's nice to rid yourself of that monkey that you've been carrying on your back since, the third game of the season. Royals win 2-1. Phone lines are open for you. Again, text line is there as well. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Now, we can talk. There's a lot to talk about. We can go big picture. We can talk about the offseason. I want to get to the trade deadline coming up in just a moment. But first, let's not blow past this, the 32nd win of the season. Let's enjoy it, and let's give credit where credit is due, pitching and defense. Man, how nice is that? We haven't had many games like this. Low scoring, well pitched, well defended, proper execution, you know, a big swing from Freddie Fermin, a nice knock from Michael Garcia, and then again, the pitching and the defense take care of the rest. Ryan Yarbrough picks up the W, and look, I've been saying it for about a week and a half now. Ryan Yarbrough is, in my opinion, the best trade asset this team has. He's made 7 starts for this team, 38 innings. It's more than 5 on average, more than 5 innings every time he takes the ball. 7 starts, 38 innings, 24 strikeouts to only 6 walks. He's won 4 of his last 5 outings, and he's posted an ERA across those 7 outings of 3.08. You show me a team that says, thanks but no thanks, we can't utilize the talents of Ryan Yarbrough. If you're making a postseason push, I have to assume you've already lobbed a phone call to J.J. Piccolo to inquire about the left-hander. Dominating stuff. Well, you know, dominating's a relative term. No, he struck out 5, which is a pretty big number for Ryan Yarbrough, but, man, look at the pitch count. 10 pitches in the first, needed just 7 pitches in the second inning. Okay, 17 in the third. That's when he gives up the solo home run to Matt Wallner to tie the game up at 1 apiece. But needs only 15 pitches to retire the side in the fourth. 8 pitches in the fifth. 9 pitches in the sixth. 12 pitches in the seventh. Ryan Yarbrough was at only 78 through 7 innings of one-run baseball. Dylan Coleman, 1-2-3 in the eighth. And then Carlos Hernandez, all sorts of juiced up, blowing 100 past Max Kepler for the first out and blowing 100 past Joey Gallo for the 27th out of this game, and the Royals pick up the 2-1 win. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610, the first career save for Carlos Hernandez. So, Ryan Yarbrough, Carlos Hernandez, they combined to throw 8 innings of one-run baseball. Case can be made those are right now the top two trade assets you have. Now, Q says to my question of why Hernandez over Barlow, he says, well, we're trying to stay away from Barlow. You know, he threw, what do you say, 25 back in the opener? Yeah. Barlow threw three more pitches than Carlos Hernandez in the opener of this series, threw four more pitches than Carlos Hernandez last night. I mean, I got some reckless speculation for you, but if you're staying away from Scott Barlow, you're not staying away from Carlos Hernandez. Yeah, you're. We all understand what Scott Barlow means to this team right now. He's the most obvious trade candidate. We'll see. Trade deadline is 48 hours and 49 minutes from right now. That's where I want this show to go. Now, we can celebrate the win. Give your flowers to Ryan Yarbrough. Freddie Fermin, you know, we've been talking about this for more than a month now. I don't know how you keep Freddie out of the lineup. Guy's got to be in there 3-4 times a week. Must be. Last 40 games for Freddie since the start of May. So it's sporadic playing time, but still it's 40 games. Past 3 months of baseball. Guy's hitting .308 with an OPS of .882. He's great behind the dish. Even better in the clubhouse. Endless energy, endless positivity, and he's getting it done consistently at the dish. Not only that home run, which he takes an 0-2 splitter up in the zone, belts it 420 feet. Not only does Freddie get the job done there in the second inning, but even when he strikes out, it's a 9-pitch strikeout. Working the pitch clock, or excuse me, working the pitch count of Kenta Maeda. Yeah, very impressive. Freddie Fermin, the other RBI coming from Michael Garcia. But I want to talk about the trade deadline. It's coming up on Tuesday, 5 o'clock. What's your message for the front office? Don't get it twisted, Kansas City. They're listening right now. 48 hours away from the trade deadline. What's your message to J.J. Piccolo and the rest of this Royals front office? What must they do? And what should they stay away from? Salvi, Nicky, Edward Olivares, Ryan Yarbrough, Scott Barlow. Who else? Stay away from this guy. Make sure you move this guy. Do you feel convicted one way or the other with anyone on this team? Or do you subscribe to the Bob Fesco way of thinking? And Fesco's been there since April, and that is everyone's available. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll get to your thoughts as the Royals have their first three-game winning streak of the season. Yeah, we'll get to your phone calls right now. I'm not going to make these people wait on hold. No, we got Daryl in Overland Park. Yeah, Daryl, you're up on the post-game show. Get us started on a Sunday afternoon. Go ahead, brother.
Josh, how you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, I'm amazing. The Royals have won three in a row. I don't think we can get any better. First off, Yarbrough, I think he's got a chance to be our ace next year. I don't think you can trade him. Might be the best pitcher we've had. With him and Lyles at the top of the lineup, that's a hell of a starting rotation right there. Secondly, I think it's time to trade Salvi, because for me, he should not only be playing, he should be in the three-hole. He's hitting like a maniac. And Nicky Lopez is the glue of this team. You can't trade him either. You should probably start him at first base for the rest of the year. He's just a winner. He's just a winner. That's my opinion.
Okay. Wow. There you go. Daryl with some haymakers to start off the show. Yarbrough and Lyles at the top of the rotation. He wants Freddie as the number three hitter and says Nicky should be the first baseman moving forward. Let's stay in Overland Park and talk with Connor. You're next up on the post-game show. Connor, go ahead.
Vern, how you doing, buddy?
I'm well. How are you?
Good. All right. Good. Two words. Freddie and SNL. That's all I got. You know, it's just nice to sweep one. Just nice to sweep one. Love you. Bye.
Love you, too. Yes. Freddie Fermin, the home run. Nicky Lopez with a one-out opposite field single. He scores the Royals' second run as Michael Garcia rips a slider down the left field line with one out in the third, plating Nicky Lopez, putting the Royals ahead 2-1, and that would be your final score. Let's go to Dan in Kansas City. Dan, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. I'm driving home with my 10-year-old son, Lewis, here, and we just had to let you know that Lewis told Freddie to hit that home run during the bullpen session, and we got a big smile from him. So he wanted us to call you after the show and let him know he gets all the credit.
And who are we giving it to again one more time?
My 10-year-old son, Lewis.
Lewis. Okay. Well, Lewis, this show's for you, brother. We appreciate it.
We had a great day ripping free baseball cards and melting in our seats, so go Royals.
What was the best card you guys got?
What's the best card you got, Lou?
A rookie card, Vinny Pasquantino.
We got a rookie Pasquantino.
Oh, yeah. No, make sure you put that in one of those protective cases because Vinny is an offensive machine. He ain't going anywhere.
All right. Thanks a lot, Vern.
All right, Dan. Appreciate it, buddy. That story right there. I mean, Lewis never going to forget that. Looking down in the bullpen, telling Freddie to go bridge, and then Freddie goes out in the first at-bat and does just that. Hits his sixth home run of the season. Now, Freddie, for me, and I remember spring training back in, 2020, 2021, one of those years. I've always been impressed with... Well, honestly, it really never had any. It never really had much to do with the production out on the field. It was just the attitude, the aura. You know what you hear so many people praise Salvador Perez for, and deservedly so. The joy that he brings, despite everything that's going on around him. Right, the team 43 games below 500, but you see Salvi show up on a Sunday, bouncing into the clubhouse with a big old smile, energy, picking up the guys. That's how Freddie Fermin is as well. Just a good spirited ball player, which to me is as great of a compliment as I can give. Just great spirit. And now he's producing. And I said all of that just because I wanted him in the organization. You know, never let Freddie Fermin leave, because he is, as Rex Hudler has taught us all, you know, you're either the fountain or the drain. Freddie Fermin is a true Kansas City fountain of positivity, of joy, of picking up the guy lining up next to you. So to see him perform like this after an offseason when he's the Venezuelan League MVP, for him to keep it rolling into the season, to me, next to what we've watched Bobby Witt Jr. do this year, I don't know if I've taken more joy in anything more so than what Freddie Fermin's been able to do. So, Lewis, thanks again for telling him to hit a home run, because without that, he probably just, you know, keeps the line moving, hits an opposite field single, hands things off to Drew Waters. But I'm sure Freddie's in the box going, I got to do it. I told Lewis I'd hit the home run. All right, here you go. 420 over the left field wall to give the Royals a 1-0 lead there in the second. They would only need one more run. Royals win 2-1. They sweep the first-place Twins, and they have their first winning streak of 2023. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. We get back to your thoughts after this.
Burns Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
2-1 the final score. Royals victorious. They sweep the first-place Minnesota Twins. And let's head inside that victorious Royals clubhouse right now and talk with the man who mowed through that Twins top of the lineup in the eighth inning. A 1-2-3 eighth inning for our guest, Dylan Coleman. Dylan, thank you very much for calling us up. A 3-game winning streak is now in the back pocket of this ball club. I'm wondering how aware was the clubhouse that they had yet to achieve a winning streak here in 2023?
Yeah, we were very aware about the streak, like you're saying. And then I think it's just going in with the same mindset every game. So just doing our best and controlling what we can control, and then just results are going to be what they are.
Dylan, you look at that bullpen. We've seen a lot of turnover, guys moving on, some traded. It really opens up a lot of opportunities for someone like yourself. You got one today, a big spot, top of the lineup, holding on to a lead. How do you view these remaining 55 games and the opportunity that lays before you?
Oh, yeah, I think it's big. Like you said, there's a lot of opportunity going on. You know, guys in and out like you're talking about. So I think the opportunity is something you got to take advantage of while you can. And like you said, I had that today, and I felt like I was able to take advantage of it. So use it as a little stepping stone and just keep the momentum going.
How would you describe your season so far? Looking as good today as you have all year of just blowing it past Carlos Correa, striking him out with the sweeper, and then doing the same to Byron Buxton. Those are two bad dudes at the top of the lineup that you made look somewhat foolish.
Yeah, I think it's been it obviously started out pretty rough, and I think it's just been trying to gain attraction the whole year is what it kind of felt like, and it feels like it's starting to start trending in the right direction now, and then just having the right mindset's really big, just going out there and actually trusting myself and just attacking hitters.
Yeah, because, you know, coming into the season and you talk with anyone that knows the game and you ask about who has the best stuff in the organization, your name always comes up. I'm wondering how much of early season issues for you had to do with the physical and how much of it had to do with confidence or maybe just the voice in your head reinforcing the talent that you have.
Yeah, I think a lot of it was just there was just a small mechanical tweak that was off or whatever you want to call it, and then it kind of just snowballed from there, and then it started getting more so mental, and then I'm focusing on mechanics when it's something so tiny, and then like you're saying, it was all in your head, and then the confidence gets low and stuff, and then like I said, it's just a domino effect from there. If you don't trust your stuff, these guys are really good hitters. They get paid a lot of money too to hit, so it's. If you're going up there not trusting it, they already see that you're weak or whatever, and they have the advantage. So,
Dylan, we're 2 days away from the trade deadline. Scott Barlow's name's been mentioned a lot. I'm not interested in your thoughts about whether or not he should be traded. I want to know what you've learned from one of the best relievers this organization has seen over the past decade.
I think the biggest thing about Scotty is just how consistent he's been. You know, every outing he goes out there, and it's like, Even his, like, bad outings, whatever you want to call them, like, they're still consistent. Like, he's had obviously his tough times this year. You know, like, stats-wise, he would obviously want it to be better. But even just throughout the year, like, he's very steady. And that's the biggest thing I learned, like, not to get too high, not to get too low. So just staying even kill the whole season. It's a long year.
How difficult is that? You know, I hear so many of you guys say it, but shoot, man, I'm up here in the press box, and I'm up and down throughout the game. Can you describe the difficulty of remaining that level the way that Scott has over the years?
Yeah, I think the hardest thing about pitching is kind of like finding wins in everything you do. So whether that's small or whether it's just one pitch per outing, or obviously you're going to have more wins in certain outings than others, but it's like, not looking at the negative all the time. So that's been something that I've been, I guess, bad at. But I know that I am bad at it. So, like, when I see other guys do it, it really brings to my attention, and I try to correct that on them. So it's like I said, just trying to find the wins and not dwelling on all the bad.
Final thing for you, Dylan. Can you give me your thoughts on Freddie Fermin? Not only what he's done offensively this season, but what he's like to work with behind the dish.
Yeah, he's awesome. He really is. He's so. I can't even think. Like, he works with you so well. Like, he's so, he'll give. Like, if he thinks something, like, he comes to like an agreement with you. You know what I'm saying? It's not mm-hmm. like he's like always just making it do his way. Like he's very back and forth on like finding the happy medium and that balance. And like I said, he puts in tons of work, and it's awesome to see that it's all paying off for him.
Yeah. Yeah. He looks like a great partner. Like he's just like a fountain of positivity to reinforce, man, you're nasty. You know, he seems like the perfect battery mate for a pitcher.
Yeah, he is. I think it's very good back there, like seeing him, because he, like you said, sometimes the pitcher gets low on his confidence. I think he portrays the, like, pushing the confidence on you. So, that, like, that's a big thing.
No question. Dylan Coleman mows through the top of the Twins lineup, a 1-2-3 eighth inning, and the Royals take care of the first place Twinkies, sweeping them out of Kauffman Stadium. Dylan, I appreciate the phone call. Nice job. We'll see you out here on Tuesday.
Yep, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Dylan Coleman following a Royals 2-1 victory. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Well, let's stay on the mound, I should say. We just heard from the guy that locked him up in the eighth inning. Let's hear from the guy that locked up the Twinkies in the first, in the second, basically in the third, in the fourth, in the fifth. And I'm talking about Ryan Yarbrough. Let's head inside the Royals clubhouse. Hear what today's Victoria starter had to say following the game to Bally Sports Kansas City.
No, I mean, I think it's huge. You know, it's been a little bit of a tough go. So obviously when you win the first one, the goal at that point is just to win the series. And you don't really get opportunities much to sweep teams. So you want to take full advantage there. So just trying to keep us into a ball game personally and go a little deep. I know the bullpen had been used a little bit yesterday. So over the series. So it was just a great for the guys to kind of come together and go into the off day on that, and just something really to build off of.
How aware are you and is the club about, you know, not winning three games in a row yet this season going into this one?
I think there's like maybe a little some semblance of it, but I think we try not to harp on it too much. I feel like we've been in a lot of games lately and we're just really trying to build off of, and this is just a great way to do that, especially against a team in division like that too. They're a good ball club, so it's just a great feeling, especially going in to finish July and hopefully kind of continue building off it going into August.
Were you and Freddie pretty in sync in terms of what you're trying to do against their lineup today?
Yeah, you know, I think Freddie called a great ball game. We had a lot of good back and forth, especially in between innings of, hey, this is kind of what he's seen last time. This is kind of what we're trying to do, and had a good game plan. And, you know, we made really good adjustments as we went and when they started making adjustments. So it's just a matter of everything we've been continuing to do of, like, getting ahead early on, keeping them on their toes, not letting them get into comfortable counts where they're able to kind of sit on certain pitches, and a lot of traffic at times, like, you know, no really, like, what, one clean inning throughout the whole day. So just really trying to make them put it in play and, you know, limit the hard contact.
There you go. That's Ryan Yarbrough, courtesy of Bally Sports Kansas City. Yarbs with his third quality start this month. I don't want to trash anyone. Let me just put it this way. There are only two Royals that have more quality starts all year than Ryan Yarbrough has this month. Again, seven starts since joining the rotation, an ERA just a hair above three. Yarbs with seven innings of one-run baseball. He doesn't walk a single batter. First Royal to pitch at least seven innings with one run and no walks all year. Got to go back to Brady Singer last season. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Again, that's 913-586-7610. So, again, what is your message to this Royals front office? We are now 48 hours and 30 minutes away from the 2023 trade deadline. What is your message to J.J. Piccolo and the rest of this Royals front office? What must they do? What mustn't they do? That's my question for you. From the 816, Vern, trade Barlow to a contender for some top prospects. He's on the downhill side of his career, and Dylan Coleman should slide right into his place very nicely. Okay, appreciate it. But just imagine you wrote that text, and instead of sending it to me, you sent it to every general manager in Major League Baseball. Why would they part with one of their top prospects for a guy that you say is on the downhill side of his career? Text line's open for you, 913-586-7610. If you're a rival general manager, who would you rather have, Aroldis Chapman or Scott Barlow? If you're saying Chapman, then why would you expect a bigger return for Barlow than what you got for Chapman? Ryan from Olathe writes in, Vern, a winning streak, nice to see. Hoping Greinke can keep it going on Tuesday. Yeah, Zach Greinke facing the lefty Jose Quintana, 7-10 for the first pitch as the Royals and Mets open up a three-game set here at Kauffman Stadium beginning Tuesday night. Let's go to Connor in Gardner. Connor, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead. Oh, let's try Paul in Lawrence. Paul, you're on the post-game show.
Hey, Vern, thanks for taking my call. And certainly a great show after a great series. Something that we need to remember is that as athletes, I think, is that valleys define the mountains. And I've said this before, that many times in sports and life, we learn more on the way down than on the way up. And certainly this is true for this team. It was nice to see Bobby Garcia affirming Carlos. My God, he could be a closer for the ages on this team down the road. Yarbrough, what a great win. Many times in a season, we read too much on these losing streaks. We're 43 games under 500. But when you look at it, that's 22 wins. And can you pull 22 wins out of a hat to get to 500 and then you're competitive? I think the answer is yes with this team. But I think in the offseason, we need a James Shields type of leader. And we have to bring that person in. Whatever it takes to make the trade, we need that. And I think in the end, the young arms and what we see with this young team, it's exciting. And there's just a lot of looking up from this valley because it's been pretty deep this year. But, boy, you internalize that. As we say over here at KU, that the Bucknells, the Bradleys, and the Bruins lead the national championships. And that was certainly true for the 2014 and 2015 Royals. And I think this team can do it again. So, good luck in the offseason. I hope we can pull something off. Go Royals.
We still got 55 games to go, Paul. I know you're going to be there. You'll be following along with the boys. We still got a third of the season remaining. So plenty of time to do what Paul's talking about, and that is, dig yourself out of this mess, end the season on a high note. Now, listen, guys, I'm not naive. I've been in Kansas City for almost 12 years now. I'll say it. Yeah, I know. Chiefs training camp starts. Patrick Mahomes shows up on the field. And what do you know? Royals start playing their best baseball. I know the jokes are coming. I know we're going to hear them on every sports radio show all over the city. But at least... at least they are playing good baseball. Today was as quality a pitching and defense as we've seen in quite a while. That infield defense from Bobby Witt Jr. making a pair of very nice catches on line drives off of the bat of Donovan Solano in the sixth, off of Matt Wallner's bat in the fifth. But Michael Garcia made a, I don't want to say fantastic, but made a... an above-average play, and made it look so very routine. Carlos Correa hits a ball to the 5.5 hole, and Garcia from his third base position ranges left, gloves, spins, and throws a dart to Nicky Lopez at first base. And speaking of Nicky, how about that pick that he made in the sixth inning? That could have saved a run. That could have saved the game there by Nicky Lopez. So a strong day from the Royals infield. Both offensively and defensively, right? Nicky Lopez scores a run. Michael Garcia drives in another run. Michael Garcia has driven in 11 runs in his last 14 games, and Bobby Witt Jr. keeps the good times rolling with a 8th-inning single. Royals win 2-1. Let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7610. Let's go to John in Mission. John, you're on the post-game show. Go ahead.
Hi, Vern. Great show. I'm really happy with the Royals' win. In terms of Scott Barlow, though, and pretty much anyone, Hernandez, Yarbrough, maybe even Brady Singer, I kind of feel like we just need to feed the farm and try to make whatever we can out of the roster that we have right now. We still have a weak farm, but one of the strengths, I guess, is we have John McMillan, Will Klein, Steven Cruz, who could all be potential closers down the road. Let's let them play and hopefully rebuild the farm system, which hasn't done too well with developing pitchers.
Appreciate it. That's the question. 48 hours and 24 minutes away from the trade deadline. What's your message to the front office? You have their attention right now. What's your message? Ed in Jefferson City writes in, note to JJ, anyone is available, but don't make a trade just to make a trade. Sometimes the best deal is the deal you don't make. From the 913, Vern, Royals sweep the Twins and we're not officially eliminated. I say we make a big move for the postseason and go for it. They're not eliminated? Is that right? So if they won every single game from here on out, that puts them at 88 and 70. No. No, you're joking. No, you're just messing with me. You don't really mean that. Back to the text line, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. From the 620, Vern, the Royals have the longest winning streak in baseball currently. Is that true? From the 913, my message to JJ, extend Bobby Witt Jr. as soon as possible. From the 816, JJ, if someone will give you a bag of chips for Edward Olivares, take it. From the 816, JJ, trade everyone. I don't think that's Bob Fesco, but that sounds like Bob Fesco. From the 904, Vern, you know as well as I do, the Royals always do the same thing. They always do the same thing at the deadline. Nothing. And we'll be in the same spot next year. Well, all right. Well, thanks for that optimistic outlook. That's not true. That's just not true. Go back to last year. Trade Carlos Santana. You got William Fleming, a kid that's pitching really well for you at AA. You trade Andrew Benintendi. You get three pitchers, including Chandler Champlain, who's also pitching really well at the AA level. It's a 24-year-old right-hander and a 23-year-old right-hander. Last year, you traded a draft pick and got Drew Waters, who went 0-for-2 today with a walk. You also got Andrew Hoffman, another young right-hander, also pitching at the AA level. So it's not true that they don't do anything. Again, guys, you know, you don't have to. You can do whatever you want. You fan however you want to fan. But if you want to sound intelligent, it's my opinion, to do so, you can't treat this front office as if it's the same front office that started this rebuild in 2018. Now, you do whatever you want. But I just think you sound silly when you say, well, this front office always does the same thing. Well, it's not true. This is the first full year of this front office, of this coaching staff. But you don't hear me, though. I know that. 2-1, the final score. We get back to your thoughts after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals Baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
3-2, two out, 2-1 Royals, ninth inning. Royals trying to sweep the Twins. Huge pitch. There goes the runner. Swung on and missed. Hernandez prevails. So do the Royals. They win all three from Minnesota. And the double Michael Garcia, way back in the third inning, holds up.
The Hall of Famer, Denny Matthews, on the call of a 27th out. Royals sweep the Twins, put together the first winning streak of 2023, and Carlos Hernandez picks up the first save of his young career. Hernandez, in the month of July, 13 1/3 innings, 15 strikeouts, opponents hitting .133 against him. His ERA in those 14 games, 1.35. 55 games remaining. Carlos Hernandez, I would say right now, is one of the five most intriguing players on this team for the final third of the season. My game notes following this 2-1 Royals victory are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. So what's your message to this Royals front office as we now sit 48 hours and 10 minutes away from trade deadline 2023. From the 913, Vern, great win. You can see the boys making strides, but a lesson these young pitchers can learn from Yarbrough is that isn't it amazing what happens when you throw strikes and go after batters? Yeah, today Yarbrough needed just 78 pitches to throw seven innings of one-run baseball. 78 pitches, 56 for strikes. From the 904, or excuse me, no, we already read that one, and that one was super negative after a win. Henry from Topeka writes in, Vern, my message to JJ and the rest of the front office, try to extend Vinny Pasquantino or Michael Garcia. Get them long term. That's an interesting thought. Okay, so it has nothing to do with the deadline. Your thought, Henry, is extend Vinny Pasquantino or Michael Garcia. Now, Vinny, of course, on the IL. He turns 26 coming up on October 10th. I don't know why I know Vinny Pasquantino's birthday like that, but I do. Michael Garcia doesn't turn 24 until next season. By the way, Garcia, who drove in the game-winning run in the third inning, Garcia, in his last 60 games, he's hitting .283 with an OPS of .737, 12 stolen bases to boot. Yeah, I got no pushback on that, Henry. I'm all in on both of those guys, right? In this evaluation season of 2023, the only passing grades, in my opinion, the only passing grades right now, Bobby, Vinny, Michael. And when I say passing grade, it's, all right, you're in. You're here to stay, barring any injury, right? Bobby's going to be in the big leagues in 2033. Michael Garcia is going to be in the big leagues in 2033. Now, Vinny Pasquantino is going to be raking in the big leagues for years. That's my opinion. Those are my takeaways from this evaluation season. Now, I hope I can add more names to the mix. Hope Freddie Fermin continues to get opportunities so maybe he can continue to impress and join that group. Now, Drew Waters and MJ Melendez and Michael Massey and Nick Prado, you know the names. Royals with an off day tomorrow. They open up a three-game set with the New York Mets coming up on Tuesday nights. Hey, want to thank our proud sponsor, Rawhide Harley-Davidson, the number one volume Harley dealer in Kansas. We appreciate your support. Rally Mantis is all, you know, Rally Mantis all sorts of fired up about this sweep. Back to the text line. This one from Raj in the Ozarks points out that the Royals, yes, are the last team in Major League Baseball to accomplish a winning streak. And now Raj is cheering on the trade deadline. Yeah, not only are the Royals the last team in baseball to reach a three-game winning streak here in game 107, every other Royals team in history had a three-game winning streak by the end of June. By game 65, every team in Royals history had at least one three-game winning streak. But you know what? Who cares? Because the Royals have theirs, and now that dark cloud that hung over at least this show. Although, we did hear Matt Quatrero said, oh, we were very aware. Dylan Coleman, we were very aware. Ryan Yarbrough, we were aware, but we tried not to talk about it. So everyone in that clubhouse knew. And you haven't had a winning streak yet. I don't know how you are unaware of it, but baseball players are different. They at times can lock into that tunnel vision, and it truly is day to day. Every day being a day, right? Cheryl in Hyde Park writes in, Vern, my answer is another question as far as, you know, what do I want to say to JJ Piccolo? My question for you is, should we trade for now or a few years down the road? Signed, Cheryl in Hyde Park. Wow, that's a great question. Honestly, if you like the return, I'm fine either way. Right? You look at the Aroldis Chapman move. You get a 25-year-old lefty in Cole Reagans who's ready to join this rotation soon. Well, we've already seen him perform well once at the big league level. Right, I think that's a trade for now. That's a guy that can help the big league club this year and next year and years down the line. And Cheryl, I promise I'm not trying to dodge the question. But I don't think you can go wrong, whether it's for now or a few years down the line, so long as it's talent. So long as you're winning the trade or, you know, it's a push. You know, the other team's happy with Yarbrough, or the other team's happy with Nicky or Olivares or Barlow or Hernandez, whoever you trade. You know, so long as you're bringing back something of note. That's all I really care about, whether they help you in 2024 or 2027. The only way this thing's going to get turned around is if you have an influx of talent within your organization. If you bring in more talent, I know it sounds very obvious, but that's where this team is. Can't have enough pitching. You can't have enough talent, period. So, look, there's no one on this team that I'm anxious to give away. You could trade Barlow this offseason. You can trade Lopez or Ali or Yarbrough or Hernandez. Everyone that's available right now is still going to be a Royal this offseason. So I don't feel any pressure. If I'm J.J. Piccolo, I don't feel any pressure that I got to move someone. That was Aroldis Chapman. And I think that move's looking better and better as time goes on. Honestly, if they hung on to Chapman and they were trying to move him right now, I'd be curious. I'd be interested to see, do you get the same return? Can you get a better return? I don't think so. I don't know if Cole Reagans is available today. Right, Nate Eovaldi gets put on the IL. True. This is the first full year of this front office, of this coaching staff. But you don't hear me, though. I know that. 2-1, the final score. We get back to your thoughts after this.
Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio.
3-2, two out, 2-1 Royals, ninth inning. Royals trying to sweep the Twins. Huge pitch. There goes the runner. Swung on and missed. Hernandez prevails. So do the Royals. They win all three from Minnesota. And the double Michael Garcia, way back in the third inning, holds up.
The Hall of Famer, Denny Matthews, on the call of the 27th out. Royals sweep the Twins, put together the first winning streak of 2023, and Carlos Hernandez picks up the first save of his young career. Hernandez, in the month of July, 13 1/3 innings, 15 strikeouts, opponents hitting .133 against him. His ERA in those 14 games, 1.35. 55 games remaining. Carlos Hernandez, I would say right now, is one of the five most intriguing players on this team for the final third of the season. My game notes following this 2-1 Royals victory are brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. So what's your message to this Royals front office as we now sit 48 hours and 10 minutes away from trade deadline 2023? From the 913, Vern, great win. You can see the boys making strides, but a lesson these young pitchers can learn from Yarbrough is that isn't it amazing what happens when you throw strikes and go after batters? Yeah, today Yarbrough needed just 78 pitches to throw seven innings of one-run baseball. 78 pitches, 56 for strikes. From the 904, or excuse me, no, we already read that one, and that one was super negative after a win. Henry from Topeka writes in, Vern, my message to JJ and the rest of the front office, try to extend Vinny Pasquantino or Michael Garcia. Get them long-term. That's an interesting thought. Okay, so it has nothing to do with the deadline. Your thought, Henry, is extend Vinny Pasquantino or Michael Garcia. Now, Vinny, of course, on the IL. He turns 26 coming up on October 10th. I don't know why I know Vinny Pasquantino's birthday like that, but I do. Michael Garcia doesn't turn 24 until next season. By the way, Garcia, who drove in the game-winning run in the third inning. Garcia, in his last 60 games, he's hitting .283 with an OPS of .737, 12 stolen bases to boot. Yeah, I got no pushback on that, Henry. I'm all in on both of those guys, right? In this evaluation season of 2023, the only passing grades, in my opinion, the only passing grades right now, Bobby, Vinny, Michael. And when I say passing grade, it's, all right, you're in. You're here to stay, barring any injury, right? Bobby's going to be in the big leagues in 2033. Michael Garcia is going to be in the big leagues in 2033. Now, Vinny Pasquantino is going to be raking in the big leagues for years. That's my opinion. Those are my takeaways from this evaluation season. Now, I hope I can add more names to the mix. Hope Freddie Fermin continues to get opportunities so maybe he can continue to impress and join that group. Now, Drew Waters and MJ Melendez and Michael Massey and Nick Prado, you know the names. Royals with an off day tomorrow. They open up a three-game set with the New York Mets coming up on Tuesday nights. Hey, want to thank our proud sponsor, Rawhide Harley-Davidson, the number one volume Harley dealer in Kansas. We appreciate your support. Rally Mantis is all, you know, Rally Mantis all sorts of fired up about this sweep. Back to the text line. This one from Raj in the Ozarks points out that the Royals, yes, are the last team in Major League Baseball to accomplish a winning streak. And now Raj is cheering on the trade deadline. Yeah, not only are the Royals the last team in baseball to reach a three-game winning streak here in game 107, every other Royals team in history had a three-game winning streak by the end of June. By game 65, every team in Royals history had at least one three-game winning streak. But you know what? Who cares? Because the Royals have theirs, and now that's dark cloud that hung over at least this show. Although, we did hear Matt Quatrero said, oh, we were very aware. Dylan Coleman, we were very aware. Ryan Yarbrough, we were aware, but we tried not to talk about it. So everyone in that clubhouse knew. And you haven't had a winning streak yet. I don't know how you are unaware of it, but baseball players are different. They at times can lock into that tunnel vision, and it truly is day to day. Every day being a day, right? Cheryl in Hyde Park writes in, Vern, my answer is another question as far as, you know, what do I want to say to J.J. Piccolo? My question for you is, should we trade for now or a few years down the road? Signed, Cheryl in Hyde Park. Wow, that's a great question. Honestly, if you like the return, I'm fine either way. Right, you look at the Aroldis Chapman move. You get a 25-year-old lefty in Cole Reagans who's ready to join this rotation soon. Well, we've already seen him perform well once at the big league level. Right, I think that's a trade for now. That's a guy that can help the big league club this year and next year and years down the line. And Cheryl, I promise I'm not trying to dodge the question. But I don't think you can go wrong, whether it's for now or a few years down the line, so long as it's talent. So long as you're winning the trade or, you know, it's a push. You know, the other team's happy with Yarbrough or the other team's happy with Nicky or Olivares or Barlow or Hernandez, whoever you trade. You know, so long as you're bringing back something of note. That's all I really care about, whether they help you in 2024 or 2027. The only way this thing's going to get turned around is if you have an influx of talent within your organization. If you bring in more talent, I know it sounds very obvious, But that's where this team is. Can't have enough pitching. You can't have enough talent, period. So, look, there's no one on this team that I'm anxious to give away. You could trade Barlow this offseason. You can trade Lopez or Ali or Yarbrough or Hernandez. Everyone that's available right now is still going to be a Royal this offseason. So I don't feel any pressure. If I'm J.J. Piccolo, I don't feel any pressure that I got to move someone. That was Aroldis Chapman. And I think that move's looking better and better as time goes on. Honestly, if they hung on to Chapman and they were trying to move him right now, I'd be curious. I'd be interested to see, do you get the same return? Can you get a better return? I don't think so. I don't know if Cole Reagans is available today. Right, Nate Eovaldi gets put on the IL. I know they acquired Max Scherzer. But I don't know if Cole Reagans is available on July 30th like he was just a handful of weeks ago. Appreciate you listening, as always, Cheryl. Thank you. 913-586-7610. A few more from the text line. From the 918, Vern, of course we celebrate wins. It was another fun game to watch. Nothing that happens from here on out will change the fact that this season is an unmitigated disaster, but the more we see legit development in guys like Massey, Isbell, Waters, the better we can feel about 2024 and beyond. Yeah, no doubt about it, and I hope that comes across on these shows. Now, I'm not trying to start any parade because the Royals won three straight games, but I can't sit here day in and day out bemoaning the fact that they haven't won three in a row, dogging the team out because they haven't won three in a row, and then when they win three in a row, whatever, big deal. No, you got to give credit where credit is due. You can't have it both ways. Well, you can, but then you're just a sports radio hack. Then you're just a guy that's not being fair, not being respectful, not understanding the difficulty of the job out there on the diamond. We give them a tough time when they lose, especially when you're 43 games below 500, but you got to give credit where credit is due, and we did that. Pitching and defense. Freddie Fermin and Michael Garcia. Nicky Lopez and the rest of that infield defense. The star is, without question, Ryan Yarbrough. Carlos Hernandez, maybe the biggest takeaway from the day. Strikes out Max Kepler. Walks Jorge Polanco there in the ninth inning. Gets Willie Castro to fly out and then blows 100 past Joey Gallo for the 27th out. Nice job, Carlos Hernandez, his first career save. All right, Royals are off on Monday. They open up a three-game set with the New York Mets coming up on Tuesday. Zach Greinke on the hill. Trade deadline will be in the rearview mirror. I'll talk to you tomorrow morning, 8:30 on Fesco in the Morning. Chris Unocero, thank you very much for the help. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday afternoon, Kansas City. Thanks for listening. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Diving is MJ Melendez. Did he make that catch? He did!
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
And a swing and a miss. He struck him out with a fastball. Seventh strikeout for Daniel Lynch.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.